This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That was Joe Madden. He joins us Tuesdays at noon. And every once in a while, we get an opportunity to talk to this man as well. He is Cubs General Manager Jed Hoyer, and he joins us on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score. Hello, Jed.
How you guys doing?
Wonderful. Wonderful. I don't know if you heard the clip with Joe Madden coming back there. Might have been on hold. He was talking about getting his starters to generate a little bit more contact so that hopefully there are shorter counts, more batters faced, and deeper into ball games. And I thought, you know, as there's so much conversation about the starting rotation for the Cubs right now, I thought it was kind of interesting because we've, you know, come up in this era this last couple of years about swing and miss and strikeouts and how effective those can be out of the rotation. And I wonder how you guys are squaring some things with starters who have had a loss at swing and miss and had some drops there and are looking to get deeper into games at the same time.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I think that one of the things about this season that's been kind of an area of frustration has been the rotation. I think our guys have been pitching sort of below expectations. And I think with that, you try to figure out why. Is it inability to get early count outs? Is it inability to get swings and misses? And I think that you're always kind of looking at all those different metrics, just trying to figure out why is it that a group of pitchers that have been very good at pitching deep into games for their whole careers, that same group has struggled with that. And it's really to a man that those guys have struggled. I know Lester had a nice run in the first half of getting pretty deep in games, but even still, I think that it's hard to sort of to single him out. I think that everyone has struggled to get deep in games, and it's something that we have to figure out. We still have a third of the season left, and we need to pitch better in order to get where we want to go.
And that isn't even factoring in the injuries. And I hate having this long a list to address here, but we have to address it. Whether it's the timetables on Chris Bryant, on Brandon Morrow, and on Yu Darvish, you've got your best position player, you've got your star free agent pitcher, and your closer, and the team's still in first place with these guys out. What is the latest that you know on timetables for all three of those players, and how is it informing your decision-making at the moment?
I think we obviously knew about all these injuries before the deadline, and we tried to, as best we could, address some of these things, grabbing a couple of relievers, grabbing Cole Hamels. I think we were aware that we may have future injuries in the rotation, and we knew that Darvish was going to be out. He had a really good sim game yesterday. He felt great. He said he felt good. John Baker caught him. He said he looked great. I think the biggest thing is how he comes through it today. I think with all these injuries, a lot of what you're looking at is how you bounce back, how you recover. So we'll have a better sense today and tomorrow with what his timetable is. But he's been progressing nicely and has had a really good look in his eye as he's been throwing these sim games, as he's been throwing bullpens. So he's doing well. And then the other two guys are just slowly making progress to get back. No real updates on Bryant or Morrow, but they both are feeling better, and hopefully we can progress them into games. But, our depth has been a lifesaver this year. I think that we have been able to, to play, solid baseball without having, very key contributors in there. But that said, injuries are never an excuse, and part of why you build up depth is to be able to withstand, key injuries.
I wonder with Bryant specifically, and maybe even with Morrow too, although I don't know him as well as we've obviously known and covered Chris Bryant over the last handful of years, but I would imagine that it's got to be difficult, whether it's your responsibility or Theo's or Joe's or the training staff, letting him know that he's got to take the time he needs to get back healthy as opposed to pushing this and fighting through something. Is that a conversation that you've had with him? Is that something you leave to trainers? Is that something that Joe's taken care of?
Yeah, you know, I think everyone's had that conversation with him. And, you know, I think getting Chris Bryant back at, you know, some percentage less than 100%, I'm not sure that's what we need. You know, we need him back and, you know, being the superstar player that he is. And I think we've seen that as he's dealt with his injury, you know, that it has taken a toll on him, and we want to get him healthy. And, you know, we're really thankful that, you know, David Bode has been able to step in and play really well. And other guys as well have been able to allow us to get through this stretch without Chris. But I think we're lying if we say we don't miss him, and hopefully he can get this thing right and get back and be really close to 100% for that final kick in the season.
As close as this race is in the Central, Jed, I'm wondering if there comes a point where you guys, all of you together, make a decision that, all right, we'll take 80% of Chris Bryant or wherever he's at. Let's push go on this and let's see you back, even though you're not at 100.
Yeah, I mean, certainly we're not anywhere close to that kind of decision yet. And the focus is on getting him to the place where he doesn't feel it at all when he swings. And that way he can play free and easy and be able to be himself. You know, maybe that conversation comes later, but certainly it's not anytime soon.
This season has felt strange kind of up to this point in the first two thirds, and it really is amazing. As much as it is within some of these games, it seems like the Cubs are fighting themselves, are fighting some aspect of what's going on. Either the offense isn't having one of its better days, or it's one of those times where you're into the bullpen in the fifth inning. Yet the team's been so resilient, so good defensively, so good on the base paths, always seeming to find somebody who is hot at just the right time and taking turns. Yet I wonder now, as you start this final third, and as Connor mentioned, when you figure out it's kind of supposed to be go time, how, and you understand how I'm saying this, Jed, how hard you should be trying to win every game, rather than discretion being the better part of valor and understanding it's not our day today. Let's play this low leverage and not chase a win right here, because we might need to chase harder down the stretch. You get what I'm asking about, sort of budgeting competitive resources?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the way this season has gone, you know, the last three seasons, we've really done a great job. We've come out of the All-Star break and we've been red hot, and we've been able to string a good month or so together and really get far away from 500 and get to a place where you feel comfortable. And it hasn't happened this year. You know, we had a tough stretch of schedule after the break, and frankly, we haven't played as well as we can, you know. And I think that's something we have to put together, that kind of run at some point where it feels like we're clicking every night. You know, I think about it, since the All-Star game, I think there's probably six or seven games in that stretch where you could kind of say we're non-competitive. You know, we're down early, never really got back in the game. And, you know, that's far too many. You know, we need to get to the place where every single night the game's competitive. And I think one of the things we've done exceptionally well over the last 4 years is, you know, we're a tough team to blow out. You know, we can blow other teams out and then we can keep games close. We haven't done a good job of that, you know, since the All-Star game. And we need to get back to that place where we're competitive every single night. And I think if we do that, we can start, you know, ticking off wins. We've had too many games like last night, like the first game against the Padres, where, you know, things didn't go our way and we never got a chance to get back in the game. And that's happened too often, and hopefully we can get away from that.
Talking with Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer here on the Bernstein and McKnight show. We were having a conversation yesterday, I think it was, Jed, about David Bode and going through some of the lists that he's on, some of the StatCast stuff, some of the production he's had. I think it's strange to look at a guy, a young kid who's gotten in and had some success that wasn't a top pick for you guys in the last 5 or 6 years. It's weird to have somebody just kind of come out of nowhere, a position player like this. What's the ceiling for David Bode? How high can he rise? And what was it that got him, you know, that kind of flipped the switch for him in the minor leagues the last few years?
Yeah, it's a great question. And one of the things with our prospects is that, you know, most of the guys that have come up through have been these really highly touted guys, whether they're first-round picks, whether they're, you know, top international signings. You know, really, Wilson Contreras is the only member of that group that sort of didn't come up, you know, straight up through as a as a highly touted prospect. And it's fun, and it's a really a testament to David, and it's a testament to our player development staff that they've made some changes and really unlocked a lot of things that he could do. He always had the ability to hit the ball incredibly hard. They got him to get the ball in the air more. He is a guy where he's a pretty good test case or a pretty good example of how a guy is focusing on launch angle and focusing on getting the ball in the air more can really benefit him. And he did a great job working with our staff on that. But the exit velocity is real. He hits the ball really hard. It feels like when he's at the plate, he can do damage. And like I said, it's a real testament to player development. They all don't come through the first round, and he works really hard, and I feel so happy he's sort of able to accept some of the accolades now as he's gotten through there, because it wasn't a fast path. It wasn't an even path, and he fought through it and really done a great job with that.
I understand, Jed, if the answer to this question is I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. How do you go about identifying which players would benefit from the quote-unquote launch angle phenomenon? Like, how do you see it happen, and what coaches bring that up? And which, because some have not benefited from it. Some just swing and miss more.
There's no question. I think with some guys, it sort of leads to more holes in their swing. It leads them to get into bad habits. And so it isn't something that it's not a panacea. It's not, you fix this and everyone's swing and all of a sudden everyone's good. I think those guys that hit the ball really hard, they're able to barrel things up. They have bad speed. And I think there's certain guys that are able to make subtle changes in their swing, and it can be body position. It could be hand, the hand load. It can be, what they're thinking about at contact. But I think player development, has to do a good job of identifying which guys can make those subtle changes and which guys can't. I think in Bodie's case, he really did benefit from that because he was a guy that hit the ball exceptionally hard but wasn't getting it up in the air. And once he started doing that, he really took off.
I always remind myself and others not to overreact to a single game, and to remember it's one of 162 or it's two of 162 or even a single week. That being said, I'm looking at this next nine. It's three against the Nationals, and there's two against the Brewers, and there's four against the Pirates. Just looking at that stretch of games as a unit in and of itself, how important is it? What will it mean simply because of where this team is? Like you say, hasn't gone on a heater yet and still has guys out. What's material about this stretch?
Well, I think we already had a stretch like that in the second half. I mean, when you looked at the schedule, at any point in June or July, you're looking at that stretch after the All-Star break, and you're like, wow, we have five against the Cardinals and then four against the Diamondbacks and three against the Cardinals again. We ended up, going 6-6 in that stretch. And so we didn't lose ground, but we definitely didn't make up ground. And so I do feel like as you get close to the end of the season, I think every stretch is super important. You can't afford a bad week as you get into the stretch, but there's no question that we're playing, three teams that are playing with a lot to lose. Three teams that are playing, trying to get back in the race. If you're the Nationals and the Pirates, and the Brewers have been excellent all year, so those teams are going to come ready, and I think we have to be able to hang with them and not just kind of get through it like we did with that Cardinal Diamondback stretch. But at some point we have to excel and be able to, as you said, have a heater, have a run where we win a lot of games. And, every stretch is important. But this one in particular, we're definitely going to face those teams best.
Yeah, that phrase you use about getting through, that's how the season has felt to this point. It has been a getting through process. And to stay out of the coin flip game really is the goal here. And the season's had this attenuated sense of almost trying to like run out the clock a little bit. Like, just stay in first place, get people healthy, win the division, and give yourself that fair puncher's chance that every team has in the high variance, small sample size of the playoffs. But I don't know how the difference between those things, the idea of getting through and cross another one off the schedule, and then like you said, the team has to play better. They've got to get hot.
Yeah, I don't look at it as getting through, because I feel like, you know, there are stretches of the schedule where you might be banged up and you might not be playing well, and you feel like that getting through is acceptable, but that's not at all what the next third of the season is about. I mean, we have to, really get way away from 500. We have to be able to go on a winning streak, and we have to be able to prove that we can play, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks of baseball in a row that is playoff quality, inspired, clean baseball, you know. And we haven't had that run this year where I feel we had some good runs. We haven't had that run where you felt like everything clicked, and it's sort of time for that. So I think that, you know, we have had stretches where we were trying to get through because we were banged up, or, you know, because things weren't working out for us, but we have to get past that, and we have to go, we have to be able to go on a run here over the next third, if for no other reason, to prove to ourselves that we can do it, you know. And I think that, I think we will.
So, Jed, in total, Ian Happ's had a pretty decent sophomore season, or I guess first full season, and he's largely proven me wrong, which I'm sure he doesn't give a damn about, but the first month for him was a bit of a struggle, and these last 25 games or so have been a struggle, but very different. He's got a 360 on base, despite not hitting all that well, and I'm wondering if you're seeing a difference in a kid getting in that first month of a big league season, first, you know, real solid big time playing portion, and then learning a lot of things about how to stay afloat, how to stay head above water while struggling some. Is there a big difference in his mental game? Has he adjusted in notable ways that y'all have seen?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's pretty mentally strong. He's had a season that's been really up and really down. You know, he's had some prolonged slumps, and he's had a really excellent hot streak. And, I think he's had this, this rut, this kind of rut now where, he's been drawing some walks, but ultimately hasn't, been getting a ton of hits. And I think we're going to get through that. I think we have a number of guys, you know, not just singling out Ian, we have a number of guys right now that have been struggling a bit since the All-Star break. And, at some point, Javi and Riz and Zoe, to a certain extent, have been really carrying, you know, our offense for a while. And I think they're going to get some help here really soon. I think we have a bunch of guys that are going to break out here as we get close to, as we get close to the middle of August, because we've had some guys struggling, and baseball is cyclical. And usually when you have really good players like we do, guys don't struggle for too long. So I think Ian and a few other guys are going to get hot pretty soon and give those guys some help.
Who else is on that list for you? Let's have the Jed Hoyer get hot list.
Yeah, I think Suarez is going to get hot here real soon. Albert has been in a little bit of a slump, and he's a guy that we've seen what he can do when he gets hot. He can rattle off a ton of hits in a row, and it's sort of a matter of time until some balls find some holes for him and he gets hot again. And the same thing for Addy. You know, I think he's going to get hot as well. So, and like I said, I think that, you know, the nature of baseball is that you never really have everyone hot at once. Like Zoe and Riz and Javi have been excellent since the All-Star break, and I think that those other guys are it's just a matter of time until they sort of find their groove and get back to what they're doing before.
Last thing for you, for me, what is the waiver wire look like right now? I know there's always a lot of big names out there. We've seen a couple successful claims put in on some pitchers. How active a market do you think it's going to be, and how actively are you and Theo exploring possibilities and opportunities?
You know, we're always exploring. Every day we go through the waiver wire with all the guys in the office and talk about our claims. Currently we're last in line in the National League. And so a lot of guys have been claimed in front of us. I think you saw, for example, the Cardinals and Brewers both got pitchers off the waiver wire, this week. So I think that the fact that we're last in line is certainly, we're not going to get a lot of claims awarded to us, but it seems like it's been a pretty active claiming period. And that makes sense. You know, when you look at the pennant races, there's a ton of teams that are very much still in play for both for division titles and for that second wild card. And so I think with that, the more teams that are in play, the more active the wire is, and therefore the fewer guys that actually get through.
I know we're just about to finish the second week of August, but because you guys are last to claim in waivers, does that mean you've got a list maybe earlier than you would otherwise of guys who might be able to come up in September from the minors and help out a little bit, you know, maybe make those, you know, leverage starts or leverage spots a little bit easier on Joe or get some matchup work done?
Yeah, I think September, like it is for every team, you know, but certainly given the fact that our bullpen has had to work really hard this year, I think, you know, the nice thing about September is you can maybe get a chance to give your bullpen a little bit of a breather in certain games. You know, there's games that, you know, Joe is forced to use guys to, you know, get through a game that might not be a winning game. And once you get to September, you can sort of ease off in that regard. You can make sure you're only using your best relievers in the most high leverage spots. So I think for every team, you know, September is sort of welcome as far as, you know, giving those relievers a little bit more of a breather than you can, you know, during the first 5 months.
Oh, real quick, I lied. Is Zobrist's hip okay? Because we just saw that there was normally it's no big deal, but anytime it's somebody his age, I get concerned when I start hearing about even a minor thing.
yeah, you know, it sounds like it was precautionary, and so we'll have more of a sense of it after the off day, but certainly the off day is going to help him today, and hopefully he'll be okay. He knows his body exceptionally well, and he does so much, you know, so much preventative work every single day, you know, to make sure that he stays ahead of his injuries. So he's got a good sense of his body, and hopefully he'll come in tomorrow and feel good. But he's really remarkable. I mean, part of how you excel at his age and given how many games he's played is by working hard. And almost every game at home, you walk by the weight room after the game and he's in there working out. And, you know, it's just a testament to his, how hard, how much he cares and how serious he takes the craft, because to play a 3-hour game and then go in and do a workout is pretty remarkable, but that's what it takes him to get ready. And he does it, you know, almost every night.
Thanks, Jed. Look forward to talking again soon.
All right, guys. Talk soon.
That is Jed Hoyer, Cubs general manager, on the Burstein and McKnight Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.